I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. From 1994 to 2004, Rhona Maynard was the editor of Chatelaine. Before that, she worked at Flair and Maclean's. Last year, she wrote a wonderful memoir, My Mother's Daughter, which has just been published in soft cover, 1999, from McClelland and Stewart. It's a really great book. I reread parts of it this past summer, and I was struck at how some of the stuff in there just stays with you. RhonaMaynard.com is her website, where she maintains a very fine blog. Please welcome once again to the Plant on the Line program, Rhona Maynard. Good morning, Ms. Maynard.
Good morning, Joe. Glad to be back.
Thanks for joining us. How did the book do last year?
I had such wonderful feedback from women who read it and identified with my story. After all my years of talking to women about their intimate lives, I'm still surprised sometimes by how one story, if you tell it really honestly, contains everybody else's story. In this case, a story about the mother-daughter bond and all its fascinating complexities and what it really takes to live your own life as a woman while still remaining your mother's daughter and honoring all the things she gave you.
And I'm not a woman, obviously, but I found the book fascinating because you seem to talk about stuff that I wouldn't talk about. Do you think it's a girl thing that you're perhaps so honest or so candid?
Well, women do seem to be much more naturally drawn than men are to storytelling about personal matters. I've been at spas, for example, where everybody just gets into the hot tub together, and the next thing you know, we're talking about this one's divorce and that one's fight with her daughter, and this one over there is recovering from cancer. Women talk that way, and my book is written that way, but it seems to me that men often just need a little bit of encouragement to tell their own story.
How does your family feel about your talking about them?
Well, my parents are both dead, and I could not have written this book while they were alive. My sister is very much alive, and she's a writer too. Before the book went to press, I sent it to her just so that she could have a chance to speak up if there was anything that really bothered her. And she said no, there wasn't, that she thought it was a very fine book, which meant a great deal to me. And she just made one tiny suggestion. It was really something she thought I might want to add, and I did add it. In the book, I talk about how my mother protested against my marriage. She thought I was too young. She thought I was the wrong guy. She didn't want to come to the wedding. And I twisted her arm, made my parents come, but they didn't bring my sister. And Joyce said to me, you know, you should know that the reason I was not there was that they wouldn't let me come. I was in Toronto. My family was in New Hampshire, and my mother didn't want my sister to miss school for the wedding. She thought it was more important that my sister should get high marks in a private school and get into an Ivy League university than to be at her sister's wedding. And I decided that was revealing, and I did put it in the book.
We have authors on all the time, but I'm not familiar with the Canadian publishing world. Are all books published in soft cover, or do they have to sell well to get that?
Most of them are published in soft cover. It's another whole audience for the book, and in fact, book clubs usually will jump on a book after it's out in paperback, and I certainly have found so far that My Mother's Daughter is a great book club pick. I sat around a dining room table with a bunch of women, and although on the surface we had all led very different lives, they could all empathize with parts of the story, and of course a lot of them also had daughters, so they had seen those struggles from the other side.
I asked you last year if you're working on another book. Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm just keeping the doors in my mind open to see what walks through. But I have lots of fun with my blog.
It is a very fine blog, I must say. One more thing about the book. When you talk to people about it, you sort of have to relive your life again. Is that hard for you?
Not at this point, because I've now written so much about my life that it just kind of rolls off my tongue. People ask, well, is it cathartic? Is it painful? Well, no, it's not. Therapy is where you get the catharsis. And telling your story in prose is how you find meaning. That's really what I was looking for when I wrote this book. I wanted to frame it. I wanted to look at what it was I had learned from my journey.
The book's title is obviously My Mother's Daughter. Is your father, how does he figure in your life?
Well, my father was the person I blamed for all my problems. Growing up, I thought my mother was my protector because she held the family together and my father was a drunk. So, to me, my dad was just this crazy person. He was also an artist, and he justified his bad behavior on the grounds that he was an artist and he didn't have to live by society's rules. It took me years and years and years to get over my anger at my father and my feeling that he had ruined my childhood by just not being present for me. Any child of an addict would say this exactly the same thing. Addicts make very poor parents. But I was able, before he died, to make some real progress, to tell him that I was proud of him. That is true. And I could almost have called the book My Father's Daughter. But I could have written a book with that title, but I chose to focus on mothers and daughters because that's really what I had learned the most about in my years as an editor and as a writer. So many women had told me stories about their mothers, and one thing that jumped out at me was how common it is for a woman to really get her life together and go off in a whole new direction after her mother dies.
One of the things that I enjoyed about the book were the sort of, you talk about yourself and you talk about going into the media business as you did. One of the things I enjoyed, and this is just purely personal, is your talk about Peter C. Newman. He doesn't come off very well in the book. Had he reacted to what you said about him in the book?
No, he hasn't. And, you know, I thought very carefully before writing that and telling the truth about it. And oddly enough, you know, I have a certain grudging affection for the guy. And I can even look back on some of the things that he said that drove me crazy at the time because I just found them so critical and cryptic. And I can see the wisdom there. I have actually looked back often through the years at my relationship with him, which I did not handle well, and that was something I tried to communicate in the book. By being rebellious and headstrong and proud, I made it a lot worse than it had to be. He was an unlikely sort of mentor, but a mentor he definitely was. And one of the things that he said to me was, a magazine is about the heart. I thought, well, what on earth is he talking about? But it's absolutely true. We've just got to connect emotionally with what we're reading, or else why do we read it?
You mentioned you were born in New Hampshire in the book. And,
yes.
So you are an American citizen, are you not?
I'm a dual national, and this means I get to vote in two elections. But it's the American one that has really got me going.
Do you always vote in American elections?
Oh, yes, I always do. One year I voted by Federal Express, but by God, I voted.
And do you even vote in midterm elections?
No. Actually, I don't even think I'm entitled to do so. I think I can only vote in the presidential election.
And you mentioned on your blog that you'd wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton. What was it about her that you liked? I mean, was it because she was a woman, or was it because she was a certain kind of woman?
It was not because she was a woman. It was because I liked her spirit, her great intelligence, her grit and courage. I see Hillary as a woman who has come through a hell of a lot and has held her head high and is extremely together. Did I like her? Well, personally, in a lot of ways, I didn't like her. I often found her abrasive and a bit chilly, but I did feel that she was the most qualified candidate. And so, in spite of being somewhat conflicted about Hillary, I was very disappointed that she was not the Democratic candidate, although I'm absolutely going to be out there voting for Barack Obama if I have to physically go to New Hampshire and cast my ballot.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the book. And what do you think your mom would have thought about Hillary Clinton emerging as she did in this campaign?
Oh, my mother would have been for Hillary, very strongly for Hillary. My mother would see Hillary as somebody who came out from the shadow cast by her husband, and as somebody who was not beaten down by a husband's behavior. The fact that Bill misbehaved, and there's Hillary out there being herself, well, my mom would really have liked that.
What do you make of the McCain campaign picking Sarah Palin to be his running mate?
Well, at the time, I thought it was tokenism. That was my very first reaction. How could they? This is so insulting to women, to think that adding a woman to the ticket could attract all those people or a segment of the independent women who wanted Hillary. But, you know, in a perverse way, I think it was brilliant because the woman is a natural on a podium. She is incredibly engaging. And I say this as a person who abhors everything that Sarah Palin stands for, by the way.
Right.
But she's brilliant. Is she ready? No. I think she's woefully unprepared. I am alarmed at the thought of President Palin. But at the same time, I think a lot of people have been much too quick to write her off as a no-talent. I've seen Sarah Palin called a hillbilly from Alaska. And I think that just goes to show that a lot of liberal women like me don't get people who want to have a gun, who are religious, who live in a small town, who didn't go to one of the better schools. We really have trouble putting ourselves inside their heads. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of ordinary folks look at Sarah Palin and they say, yeah, she's like me. She could be my sister. She could be my kid's teacher. She gets me. And I remember also thinking, well, how are Hillary supporters going to be attracted to Sarah Palin? Look at Sarah Palin's stand on the issues. Sarah Palin is stridently opposed, vehemently opposed to abortion in all cases, including rape and incest. How can women be so dogmatic? Well, I suspect the reason for that is that an awful lot of women don't believe that they or anyone close to them will need an abortion. And they'd much rather be understood. They could be dead wrong, by the way, about somebody they know needing an abortion.
Right. I'm just thinking about where we've come in terms of our politics. What did you think of Margaret Thatcher?
Well, at the time, I was so young and idealistic that I just thought, she's a man in a woman's suit. I think I was rather too harsh on her at the time. But there's a big difference between Margaret Thatcher and Sarah Palin.
But I go back to the Hillary and Hillary thing and why her campaign didn't do well. It seemed that she was trying to be two different people. Like when she was trying to, I guess, beat sort of tough and gritty, she was criticized for that. And when she was emotional, like when she cried, I guess it was at New Hampshire when she cried.
Oh, she couldn't win. Yes,
yeah.
It was New Hampshire. I think we saw sexism flaming on all fronts with the Hillary campaign. And I was thinking regularly, no matter what this woman does, she's going to be criticized. And that's always been the way with Hillary. When she stood by Bill after Monica, there were so many women who said, oh, I can never like her now. She just should have ditched him. She's lost my respect. But if Hillary had ditched Bill, some of those same people would be saying, how can she put the country through divorce in the White House? She could not win.
There is an election campaign in this country, but we can't seem to get, as you said in an email to Mickey, we can't just get exercised about it, can we?
Well, I certainly can't, but I guess that's because the stakes are just so terribly high in the United States, and the consequences of a bad U.S. president are just so serious for everyone that I find myself in the morning doing additional web surfing just because of the American election. I find this Canadian election nearly terribly uninspiring.
There's a cover story in this week's Maclean's. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I just saw it this
morning.
No, I
haven't.
The cover says, Who Women Want. And I forget the guy's name now. I think it's John Geddes and Aaron Weary. They write about the role that women will play in this election. Not necessarily Elizabeth May, per se, but women voters.
The women's vote.
Yeah.
And women are liking Harper better.
Yeah. What do you make
because
of that?
Women are practical. And Harper, whatever you may think of his policies, at least is sending out a coherent message. He seems steady, maybe wrong-headed, but definitely steady and in control. And even that cool air that he has, which can be a little bit off-putting, suggests a person very sure of himself, very grounded with. We don't have a clue what Stéphane Dion stands for. And this, I think, more than anything else, more than what he's actually standing for, is accounting for the edge that Harper has with women. You've got to have a soundbite that people can at least understand. And and business as usual, steady as she goes. You can trust us to manage the economy. Whether you believe it or not, sounds more coherent than what the liberals are saying, which sounds incoherent.
You mentioned that you enjoy writing for the website. How often do you do that?
I do it at least twice a week. And lately, sometimes it has been more. I just got addicted to this. I initially started it as a promotional vehicle for the book, and I thought I would be writing almost entirely about women's relationships. And although I do, it hasn't really worked out that way at all. I write about the whole gamut of my interests and concerns as a woman in these changing times. So when I went to a Bob Dylan concert, my second Bob Dylan concert, well, I guess it was the third, actually, after 30 years, of course I wanted to write about that, too.
And you find that people are responding to it, right?
Yes. The Dylan one and the Sarah Palin one, both of those were popular posts.
Well, Rona, I appreciate you coming on today. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you'll come back again.
And thank you.
And we'll read the website, regularly, I guess.
All right. Hope you will.
By the way, do pick up the book. I mean, the soft cover is out now. If you're too cheap to buy it when it came out last year, get it. It is a wonderful book, as I said. My Mother's Daughter, 1999, from McClelland and Stewart. RonaMaynard.com is the website for the blog. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.